ओम शांति। वेलकम टू मधुबन बापदादाज होम, योर होम। बाबा हैज गिवन अस सच अ वंडरफुल स्पिरिचुअल फैमिली विच is so unique that no one else can ever claim to have such a unique family as ours. Don't you feel that? Yes? You all feel that? Though each one of us come from different backgrounds, maybe different cultures, from different countries, different languages, but we have all become one. It is like different types of beads put in one thread. And we are those different beads put around one thread of love for the Father around the Father's neck. Each one is very, very close to Baba and also very close to one another. This is the wonderful feeling all of us have or should have. If we don't have yet, we should have it. Just like in a family, there is so much closeness. And Baba has given us this wonderful family. Sometimes they say in the world, that the world has become smaller, it has shrunk. Not that it has shrunk physically, but we have come so close to one another because of easy communications, easy travel, easy methods of contacting one another. And they say it's a global village. The whole world. Somebody very rightly said it's a global living room. I said, how? He said, living room, not a village. Village also would mean the different houses. And one may not know what is going on in the other one's house. But living room means we are so close that we can come to know what each one is doing, just like you sit in one living room, one sitting room, and you know what each one is doing. So that's how close we have become. It's like somebody raises his finger in the east and someone in the west is affected. You know, that's how close we are. Like you're sitting so close and if you just turn your fist or something and the other one feels your elbow or your hand or your fist, whatever. It's so close. But then Baba says, we may have come closer in this way through science, but mentally we have gone so far away from one another. Like you see in some Laukik families, people live together and yet maybe don't speak to one another. For many years they don't speak to one another, though they are living in the same house. They are so close in relationship. Sometimes neighbors don't even know each other, you know, how close they are. They could be of so much help to one another because they are neighbors. But they are strangers for one another. In spite of being so close. So this is what we see in the world. But in God's world, in Baba's family, it's not like that. We come so close to one another because Baba is in between. Baba is like a magnet. When a magnet is brought in front of many needles, or it stands above the needles, all the needles are pulled towards it. And not only are they pulled towards the magnet, but they are also pulled towards one another. Because each needle becomes a temporary magnet. I don't know if you have experimented upon it. Supposing you have one needle and you put under a magnet, and you have another needle, and then that needle will attract the next needle. Because around each needle a temporary magnetic field is created which attracts the other needle. And that second needle will attract a third needle. It can be a very lovely chain. But then that chain is there because the magnet is at the top. And if once the magnet is pulled out, what happens? All the needles fall because that magnetic field is over. That pull is finished. So here too we are all so close to one another because Baba is there with us. We are all pulled towards Baba, and as each one is pulled towards Baba, then automatically we come closer to one another. But then it's all because of Baba. And in one well-knit family, we have that hierarchy, no doubt. The father, the children, their children, their children. And in a family it is very essential that love be given to one another, respect be given to one another, and each one is obedient. They say in Hindi that one says something and the other one agrees, both are knowledgeable. It's not that one says what if he advises something and the other one accepts, it means the other one who accepts is not knowledgeable. Even that one is not knowledgeable because he accepts what is right. He knows what is right. And the one who has given some instruction, he knows that whatever he is saying is right. So in this way, we see that how obedience, respect, love, they are very, very essential in a family. And when all these three are there, then we become the worthy members of that family. If there isn't love, if there isn't respect, if there isn't obedience, then we cannot be together. We cannot be called one family. So I've been given a topic to speak on, being an obedient and worthy child. And I can say from my experience that from the very first day I dedicated myself to Baba, I made a promise to Baba, Baba, come what may, I will always be obedient, whatever the seniors say. Because whatever they say, they will say it for my benefit. Nobody will want to harm me. We all think benefit of each other, nobody wants to harm anyone. I may not know what is beneficial for me, but my seniors know what is beneficial for me. The dadis know what is beneficial for me. So how will I be obedient when I know my self-worth? I know the worth of others too. There are some people who think, well, I know what my worth is. I know what I'm supposed to do. Why should somebody else tell me what I'm supposed to do? Don't I know what I'm supposed to do? Am I that stupid? Am I not understanding what my responsibility is? Why does he or she have to remind me? So if I have such a thought, it is definitely my ego working here. It's not self-respect, but it is ego. There is such a subtle difference between self-respect and ego, and many people don't understand this subtle difference, and they consider ego to be self-respect, and the result is that they are not able to become obedient, and they are not able to give respect to the other one. They are not able to have love for one another. It's because of lack of true understanding of self-respect. So Baba teaches us the true meaning of self-respect, because only when I know what self-respect is, will I be able to be obedient. If there is self-ego, then I will not be obedient. So self-respect means giving respect to one's soul and to the soul and to the other soul too. Because Baba says, when I have respect for myself, I will be able to give respect to others. If I don't have self-respect, I will not be able to respect others. Many people are not able to give respect to others because of self-ego, and they think it is self-respect. But the very proof of self-respect is that I should be able to give respect to others. And when I'm able to give respect to others, it means I'm obedient. So my very first day when I surrendered to Baba, my first thought was, yes, Baba, whatever you say, I will do. Because I know whatever Baba will say, it will be for my benefit. I may not know what is my benefit, but Baba knows. And therefore, his Srimat will not be for any harm for me. But then in order to understand this, I need to have that full faith. Faith in the self, faith in the Baba, faith in drama, faith in my aim and objective. Also, that is very important. Usually, Baba speaks of three types of faith. Faith in self, faith in Baba, faith in drama. But then, faith in my aim and objective. Somebody may say it comes, faith in the self. But faith in my aim and objective means something for the future. Something what I'm looking upon, you know, looking forward to. That's my aim and objectives. And faith in the self may be my present state, what I am I, in my true form now. And therefore Baba says, I need to have faith in my aim and objective, which means my eternal stage, or my original stage, and my beginning stage. And Baba sometimes says, if you have two as you have two eyes, you keep in one eye mukti, and in the other eye keep jivan mukti. Because my eternal stage, my original stage, is the purest stage of the self, the soul, the seed. And when I came in the body, then to my beginning stage was so elevated. I need to have faith in this. But then, I also need to have faith in the drama, as Baba was saying today, that why my condition has become like this is all part of the drama. You know, many people question, why this? Why has this happened? When Baba says, don't ask questions. It has happened means it is in the drama. It's part of the drama. And when it's part of the drama, where are the questions? It is there because it needs to be there. It's all needed in that sequence, you know, for the whole story to be completed. It's needed. Every scene is important. So as every scene in a drama is important, so how can we say why this? And also we know that each scene is connected to the other scene. How will the other scene come if the first scene doesn't take place? And therefore, how can I ask why this? And also as the drama is beneficial, there is definitely some benefit behind it, so I cannot ask why this. Usually we ask why this because I feel maybe there's some harm behind it, maybe there's no benefit behind it. But if there's benefit, I will never say why. Two days ago, there was a news in the newspaper. Somebody, you know, just was passing by, and a thought came in his mind, let me go and buy a lottery ticket. You know, lottery tickets were available. He had never bought a lottery ticket before in his life. And he just went and bought a lottery ticket, and that was the last day. And the next day, his number was declared as the first prize. He never ever thought that he would ever get a prize. He just took it, did it casually. Now when his number was announced, could he ask, oh, why this? Why me? No. Usually when it's a distressful situation, an unhappy situation, a sorrowful situation, maybe the question may come, why this, why me, why only for me? But if it's a very happy situation, do we ever question, why only for me? Why this? No, I take it so happily. So if I take that happy situation so easily, without any question, why do I take that unhappy situation in that difficult way and ask questions, why this? Because even that happy situation is going to pass away. It's not going to stay forever. And the unhappy situation is also going to pass away. It's not going to stay forever. Because no scene will stay forever. Either the happy one or the unhappy one. Everything will pass. No scene, repeats in one drama, in one cycle. No scene, never. In 84, in the whole cycle, each one of us has taken 84 births. Each one's 84 births have been different. And there are 6 billion people in the world, and maybe their lives, whatever they pass through, each one of theirs is different, not one is like the other. Just imagine how much variety there is in this world. How much variety. Unlimited variety. We see this as the beauty of God's creation. and begin to admire it instead of questioning why this, why that. Because nothing is going to stay permanent. Even golden age did not stay permanent, nor will iron age stay permanent. Golden age changed, iron age will also change. Like Baba was saying in today's Murli, that the happiness which you experience now will not be the same as the experience of happiness in golden age. Why? Because as you reach golden age, immediately the next day the change will come, the downfall will start. Because the peak is only one point, that's all. You go to a mountain top, and whilst you're climbing, 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 you're going up and up and up, your eyes are upwards. But as you reach the peak, that peak is only one step. And you reach that peak, that's it. And then again you have to come down. No? There's no more rising after that. So till you reach that peak, that point, your endeavor is on and on. And the happiness is there as you're reaching your destination. And once you're there, again you come down. So the happiness which you experience whilst going towards your destination is different from the happiness you experience when you're at the destination. Because as you are there again, the next second is a downfall. There may be just 1 second, the highest peak, the highest stage. But the experience for reaching that highest stage is the super sensuous joy. You know, whilst or when we are up to or nearly about to reach that stage. But once we are there, the satisfaction comes and then the downfall starts. So the happiness comes when we are always rising, rising, rising. And we reach that the peak and then the fall begins. But then somebody may say, why this? We say, why not this? This is a game. Why not? When somebody says, why? Then we say, why not? What is the harm? It's a game. So when I understand the depth of God's creation, God's ways, I see all this with that beauty. And therefore no questions come. Neither questions come, nor even surprises come. Sometimes questions don't come, but surprises come. Oh, really? It happened that way. How did it happen? It's not why, but how. So it's a surprise. But Baba says no surprises too, because it's nothing new. Not just no surprises, no questions, but also no worries. Because everything is beneficial. No worries and also no sorrow. Because why is the question of sorrow? Nothing belonged to me anyway. If something is lost anyway, it didn't belong to me. There's a saying that if you didn't get something what you wanted, maybe you didn't deserve it. We desire many things, but we don't have to deserve everything. And if I didn't get it, although I desired it, it means I didn't deserve it. So forget it. How can I get something which I don't deserve? Karma plays its part. And therefore, there's no question of sorrow too. No question of worry. No question of fear of losing too. Because what was mine which I lost? Usually there's fear of losing because it's like a possessiveness and I'm afraid of losing what I possess. But if it never belonged to me and it's lost, I'm not afraid to because it never belonged to me anyway. So no fear of losing. The fear of loss or losing is there when I have the possessiveness. So nothing belongs to me, nothing belonged, nor will it ever belong. So why the fear too? So how Baba has made us rise above all these, you know, weaknesses with the help of that faith in Self, Baba, the drama, and our aim and objective. And whatever Baba says, yes, Baba, I'm ready. It is so easy to become obedient. I remember once Brahma Baba, you know, in Sakar, he was testing someone. And Baba asked him, child, do you have faith in Baba? He said, yes, Baba, I have complete faith in you. Okay, are you sure you have faith in Baba? He said, yes, Baba. That means whatever Baba tells you, will you do it? He said, yes, Baba, I have full faith, and whatever you say, I will do it. And then Baba said, okay, child, if I tell you, go and jump in the well, will you go and jump? Huh? Will you go and jump? Yes? No? Will you or not? Should you, what will you do? Go and jump in that well. Baba tells you, will you go and jump in the well? Yes or no? Those who say yes, raise your hand. And those who say no, and many are not raising their hand in any answer. Anyway, so that soul, that brother, he only smiled. And Baba asked the same question, say yes or no, will you go and jump? So he didn't know what to say, and then Baba said, see child, Baba will never give you such a Srimad. Why don't you have faith in that? I mean, he will never ever tell you to go and jump in a well. Why should Baba tell you that? So there's no need. So the faith is not that whether you will jump or not jump, you know. Yes, I will jump in the well. Yes, Baba, you tell me I have that much faith. You have that understanding that whatever Baba will tell me, it will be for my benefit. But this, he will never tell me. Why should he tell me? So have the faith in whatever Srimad Baba is giving you. He will never tell you any Srimad which is not useful or which is not really beneficial for you. So that is the real faith. Once Baba asked somebody that, are you Trikal Darshi? Are you the knower of the three aspects of time? He said, yes, Baba, you have made me the knower of three aspects of time. Baba has told us the beginning, the middle, and the end of the cycle, so everything is very clear. So Baba said, okay, if you are the knower of the three aspects of time, do you know what will happen tomorrow? Do you know what will happen tomorrow? Yes? Do you know? Can you write down what will happen tomorrow? How can you say that you are the knower of three aspects of time? So that soul kept quiet. So Baba said, knower of three aspects of time means that whatever will happen, we don't care for the details, whatever will happen, it will be beneficial for me. This is being called the knower of three aspects of time. Well, let anything happen, which may not seem very good at that time, but whatever will happen will ultimately be beneficial for me. This is being called the knower of three aspects of time. So when Baba says that, children, you have to be obedient. Dadi Janki, you know, for the past few days, she has been giving such strong classes. In what way is she going to benefit from that? It's all for us. But because Dadi feels that, oh, we are all Baba's children. And Baba wants us to see us as perfect souls, as perfect beings, as worthy children, because we are the helping hands of God. Just imagine. Even this thought, mere thought, is enough to create goose pimples in us. Goose pimples? You feel so excited. I'm God's helper. Just imagine. Even this one thought is enough for me to understand what my responsibility is. If I'm the helper of God, what am I supposed to do? So when Baba says that you are my helping hands, I have to ask myself, that means whatever Baba wants me to do, I should be ready for that. And whatever Baba tells me will be for my benefit. So this is the real faith, and that faith will lead to obedience. And that will lead to becoming a worthy soul. So I can tell you from my experience that from day one, I told myself and to Baba, Baba, I will never say no, come what may. Because, you know, whenever we write our letter of faith or we write our letter of surrender, we do write, wherever you keep me, whatever you feed me with, whatever you make me wear, you know, whatever, Baba, I'm ready for it. You are the bestower. You are the one who gives me. I take only from you. So, whatever is good for me, that is what Baba is going to give me. I know it. This also is my faith. And therefore, obedience is there. But on the other hand, Baba also says, you are the most fortunate souls of the world. You know, just imagine. If I have that type of intoxication too, then too, I can become really very obedient. Because whatever instructions of Srimad Baba is giving me is creating my fortune. Usually in the Laukik world we see that people hesitate to do something because they think, oh, in what way will it be beneficial for me? What will I get from it? But here we don't think in that way what I will get from it. The thought is that I have to serve Baba. No, this is the thought. Because if I say what I'm going to get benefit from it, this is selfishness. So, in my mind and intellect, the thought is that I have to serve Baba. And when I'm serving Baba, indirectly, automatically, I am benefited too. Because this is the law of karma. Whatever you give, that you get back. So I'm not thinking of what I'm going to get back, because I'm already going to get back what I'm giving. But I have to give. So that creates my fortune. And if I think that what am I going to get back, that very thought will cut off 50% of my return which I'm going to get. The very thought, what am I going to benefit from it? What am I going to receive from whatever I'm doing? The very thought will cut off 50% of the benefit I would have received otherwise. And if I keep telling to other people, what am I going to benefit from this? What if I did so much and what am I going to get for all that I have done? The more you tell this to people, the more your fortune is cut, more and more. Like we tell, you know, on the path of bhakti, they say that when you are serving, you serve with one hand. It should be so incognito that even your other hand should not know that you have served with the right hand. You have given something for charity or whatever. You have given help to somebody. If you have done something good for someone with your right hand, let it be so incognito that your left hand also should not know that you have done something good with your right hand. So incognito it should be. And if you do something good, do good and forget about it. Don't even mention it, that you have done something good. And if you do something wrong, something bad, tell everyone that this was wrong and you're sorry and ask for forgiveness. Otherwise you have created a great karma for yourself. But usually in the world what we see, people when they do something good, they tell the whole world, I did this, I did that, you know, they praise themselves a great deal. And when they do something wrong, they hide. They don't want anybody to know that they did something wrong. Actually, it should be the other way around. If we do something good, no need to mention. Because Baba knows and my soul knows. And the more I mention, the more I'm cutting off my fortune for the future. And if I do something wrong, let me surrender, let me tell and become light so that it was wrong. And I've told it and finished. Whatever the result, I don't mind bearing that because it was my mistake anyway. Why should I hide? Why should I lie? There's no need. There's no need at all. Because that will increase later on. And I'll be finishing my whatever good I have done, even that will be finishing. I'll be losing that too. And therefore Baba says, if you have made any mistakes, anything wrong, you write to Baba and forget about it and let the past be finished. Don't keep remembering that again and again and again. Even Dadi Janki, she said, okay, if something is disturbing you, okay, write to Dadi and write to Baba and finish it. Don't let it, you know, hang around you for a long time. It's not good for you. And therefore, when it comes to faith in the self, faith in Baba, faith in the drama, faith in my aim and objective, I get that confidence to be able to do what Baba wants me to do, and therefore I become obedient. So this was my aim the very first day. Yes, Baba, whatever you tell me, I'm ready for that. I never had a thought, what if this wouldn't happen, then what if that wouldn't happen, then what if this happened or that happened? No. Whatever Baba does for me is the best for me. You know, when Brahma Baba surrendered himself, he never had a thought even once that I'm surrendering all my wealth. What about my family? What about my home? What about my business? What about this? No, Shiv Baba told him, child, surrender. And instantly he did it without thinking twice. You know, they say in bhakti that God feeds everyone, even an ant. An ant is also fed by God. That's a bhakti feeling. So if an ant is fed by God, will I not be fed by God? So, if I have that feeling that, yes, Baba, I have surrendered to you, Baba is responsible. I have to be just obedient. It's very true that supposing you are obeying someone, then that person becomes responsible, not you. Because I have done my job of being obedient and the task is accomplished, so the one who gave that job is responsible. He considered me to be efficient for that, to be worthy for that. That's why he gave me this task, no? Baba sometimes tells the teachers that, see, you are given such a high seat to give God's gyan to others. Just imagine, God's knowledge you are giving to others is such a great task. People in the world are looking for truth, and you have the truth here which you are imparting to others. You are teaching spiritual knowledge to others is such a big responsibility. And as it's a big responsibility, it's definitely a great asset too. You are achieving so much. You are in God's heart. You are in His good books. Baba has thought you to be worthy. That's why you are given such a seat. Otherwise, how would you get such a seat? If I think that I'm not really capable, but Baba has given me that task, then Baba gives the strength for that also. Again, this is the faith. If Baba has given me some work which I think I may not be able to do, but Baba has given it to me, Baba will also give me the strength to do it. It's not just the work that He will give to me to do it, but also the strength to do that work. Otherwise, He wouldn't give it to me. And therefore, it's not difficult to become obedient. This was Mama's speciality. You know, whenever Baba used to say anything to Mama, Mama, will you do this? Mama would say, yes, Mama. Yes, Baba. And many other sisters, they would tell, Mama, how did you say yes? How can it be possible? How will we be able to do it? Mama would say, no, don't question Baba. Baba has said it, it means it is possible. Don't question. Daddy, once Mohini Ben was giving a very interesting example. The example was that there was a group which had come to meet Baba, and they were supposed to leave. So Baba asked them about some sweet dish. Have you eaten this sweet dish, some toli? And they said, no, Baba, we have never eaten this toli. And Baba said, you have never eaten this toli? Okay, then Baba will make it for you. We'll get it made for you. So Baba called Mama and told Mama, Mama, see, these children haven't eaten this sweet toli, this dish. And Baba wants that they should be able to get it somehow. Can it be cooked? Can it be made now? Mama said, yes, Baba, why not? And they were supposed to leave. The taxi was standing, or maybe they were to go in a bus they were to go to the bus stand. And they were about to leave, and how can the toli be made within such a short time, and they were leaving? But Baba said it. Mama said, yes, Baba. And she came to the kitchen, and they had to leave. How could it be made? But Mama said, Baba has said it, it will be done. And very interestingly, they left. It wasn't cooked. It wasn't ready yet. But Mama didn't stop. She was determined. She said, Baba has said it, and therefore I will do it. And then she got it made, and they had already reached the bus stop, Mount Abu bus stop. And she got it ready and brought it in front of Baba. And Baba had somebody ready to go on a cycle and take it to the bus stand, and they already had sat in the bus, on the bus. The bus was about to leave, and the toli came right in their hand. And they got it. Now you can imagine the joy which the children experienced at that time. Oh, Baba, you have so much love for us, so much love for us. You cared so much for us. Oh, Baba, thank you. And when they went back, they wrote such lovely letters, and then, when they went back, they got that brother got so much, business. He flourished in his business. He said, it is because of your love for Baba. And then he helped in the Baba's yagya. So you can imagine, if Mama would have said at that time, no, Baba, it is not possible in half an hour, I cannot do it, what would have happened? What would have happened? Okay, yeah, okay. But Baba said it, and Baba knew that Mama will never say no. If Baba would have called anybody else, and that one would have hesitated, Baba, how can it be made in half an hour? It needs at least 2 hours. Baba, not possible. But Baba called Mama, and Baba knew that Mama will never say no. And the result of that was so beautiful, because those children who got that sweet in the bus, and the bus was about to leave, but it reached just in time, because the determination was there that it should be given to them, it should be made for that. And they got it. So you can imagine how much love must have come in their hearts for Baba and the family. You saw, this is what Baba says, this is called obedience. This is called a well-knit family. This is called becoming worthy. But if, whilst I'm serving, the thought is coming, in what way am I benefiting? In what am I going to get from it? It's all a big selfish motive. I will neither be able to benefit now, nor will I benefit for the future. Or there are some people who say, oh, I did so much, but no one cared for what I did. Now, even that is, Baba says, ignorance. I did so much and no one cared for it. No one praised me even once that I did so much. And on the contrary, more and more work is coming upon me. Nobody even cares for all that I'm doing. Well, people may not know, people may not care, but Baba knows. I'm not doing for people. I'm not doing for so and so. I'm doing for Baba. You know, this is the feeling each one of us, has to keep. In the sense that each task I do is a dignity. There's a big difference between distribution of work and dignity of work. Dignity of work. Dignity of work means each work, each act I do, each action I do is great. Because it is for God. Each thought I create, each word I speak, each action I do, each step I take is for God. Now, this is a feeling which makes me, you know, change my ideas completely about self, about others, about my fate, and completely. Because I'm doing it for Baba, I'm not doing for any human being or so and so, or even for myself, for God, because I love God, I love Baba. So that's my strength, because I love Baba. And that love for Baba makes me do whatever Baba wants me to do. That is my faith, that is my obedience. So if it's for Baba, then why should I ever think, oh, I did so much and nobody even cared, nobody even mentioned, nobody even, you know, praised, no one even, said anything. Doesn't matter. The more incognito I am, the better. Because in that way, I am accumulating my account, in my account. If I am being praised, if I am becoming well known and famous and this and that, on the contrary, my account is reducing. The more incognito it is, the better. So this is a great consciousness which we keep, because we are actually accumulating multi millions at each step. How fortunate we souls are. We sometimes can compare our stage, our fortune to many other souls. I remember when I first went abroad, you know, that was in 1974, Vedanti Ben and myself, both of us went to Africa. in 74. At that time, service had not yet started abroad. Maybe a little bit, but not much. And Baba sent us abroad. So both of us went in front of Baba. Both of us did have that fear, you know, going outside India, and we didn't know what we would have to face, what type of people would come in front of us, how we would do service. We didn't know anything. So that was in 74, that is 32 years ago. So I remember 32, 33 years ago. So I asked a very, maybe now I feel it's a silly question, but I asked from Baba, Baba, you are sending us so far. How do you want us to serve there? How, what do you want us to do? And Baba very sweetly said, children, both of us, the field is ready. You have to just sow the seed. You know, God's language is very elevated. You have to just sow the seed. And then the second question I asked, Baba, you are sending us so far, and what if destruction takes place then? And we are there and destruction takes place. Then Baba smiled and told me, child, who is sending you? I said, Baba. See, Baba very sweetly answered in a form of a question. He took the answer from me without answering. When I asked the question, Baba, you're sending us so far, what if something happens? Then Baba put a return question. Who is sending you? I said, Baba. So when Baba asked me, child, who is sending you? I said, Baba. Then Baba asked another question. So what if destruction takes place? I questioned. So Baba, when he asked, who is sending you? I said, Baba. Then Baba said, then who is responsible? If Baba is sending you, then who is responsible? I said, Baba. Naturally, the one who is sending me is responsible. Then Baba said, if Baba is responsible, then why are you worried? So simple. Baba, why are you worried? If Baba is sending you, then he is responsible. Then you don't have to worry at all, oh, what will happen to me there, how it will happen, what I'll do there, how will it work out. You don't have to worry at all. Baba is sending you, the Almighty is sending you. He knows His ways. You have to just be obedient. And then I asked Baba, okay Baba, how do you want us to serve there? Because it was something very new for us. Then Baba said very beautiful things. Baba told me, the child, very rich people will come in front of you, whom you have to serve. But never, never, ever have a thought that I have to take anything from them. No, I have to give them. I have to give them. Always go with that self-respect that we have come here to give, not to take. Because at that time many gurus from India who were going to Africa, you know, they minted money. They got so much money from there. Africa was in its golden age at that time, in 1974. So very rich. All the countries were very rich at that time. So Baba told me that child never have this thought that we have come here to take anything from them. So always have the thought we have come here to give. And then Baba said, very rich people will come in front of you, but at that time you should think that they may have all the richness, but they do not have the richness of peace, the wealth of peace. And this is what you have to give them. You have to give them this wealth of peace. So whomever you meet, you tell them, we have come here to give you peace. And it was so true, because people had lots of wealth, but no peace. And this is what we aim for, just to share peace with all. And then, the second thing was, Baba said, very many learned, educated scholars, you know, rich, not just rich, but even well-educated people will come in front of you. At that time, never had this thought, well, they are so educated, you know, so learned, and I'm not that much, you know. Maybe I've just got a small 1 degree, that's all. But I'm not like, you know, so intelligent like them or so educated like them. But then Baba said, at that time, have a thought that they may have the knowledge of the world, you know. Lots of information of the world, but they do not have the knowledge of the self. So this is what you are going to give to them. You tell them who they are, which they are ignorant of. And really it did work wonders, because whenever we used to serve, we would ask this first question, you know who you are? And they would never be able to say. Of course, they would give introduction of the physical body. And we, in this way, gave them the knowledge of the soul, knowledge of the Supreme Soul. And they liked it so much, they were pulled towards Baba, because they were in search, actually. So, Baba says, the true people, the souls who are of this deity religion, they will come automatically. You have to look for them. They are there, you know, scattered all over the world. The family of golden age is scattered all over the world. You have to go there and look for them. I also remember how, you know, once I was standing in front of Baba, we all were, and we all were taking toli from Baba. And I too stretched my hand to take toli from Bap Dada, Avyakt Bap Dada. And Baba gave toli in my hand and held my hand tight with toli on my hand. And he held it tight and he gave me a beautiful blessing which was very unexpected. Baba said, Saraswati, the goddess of knowledge, is on your tongue. Saraswati, the goddess of knowledge, is on your tongue. So, I was wondering what it meant. Okay, we are all, Baba says, we are daughters of Saraswati, the goddess of knowledge, and we are all imparting knowledge. So, I mean, what way Baba mentioned this to me? We are all Saraswatis, all goddesses of knowledge. But Baba gave me this blessing in particular. There must be some reason. And, well, my mind started working. What did Baba mean by saying that? So two things came in my mind at that time. The first was, maybe Baba wants me to do something. I don't know what will be revealed in the future. Because this type of blessing no one else has ever received straight away. The Saraswati, the goddess of knowledge, is on your tongue, you know. Imparting knowledge is by all the sisters, by all brothers. Each one imparts Baba's knowledge to others. What is so special about me? Anyway, so I said, Baba wants me to do something special. Then the second thought which came in my mind was that if this tongue has Saraswati on, you know, on it, or in it, or with it, then no other words should be uttered from my mouth except Baba's Gyan, nothing else. No worldly things, no bad words, or nothing which is a waste, or which is negative, or, you know, anything unwanted. Nothing should be uttered from my lips. Just Baba's knowledge, that's all. Because Saraswati is sitting here, you know. So, and then, to my surprise, after a few days, I got an invitation to give a lecture on the television. So, unexpected, never before did the Brahma Kumaris get an invitation to give lecture for television. It was the first call from a private channel, which had just started in India. And not just in India, but it was to be broadcasted in many countries in Asia, not just in India. And I was invited and I went there and I was told, now talk about values. At that time, education and values was not so much as our part of our knowledge. You know, we were talking about soul, supreme soul, Brahma, that, but only on values, value education and values. Now we have in every field values in healthcare, values in education, values in this, values in that. So now this has become part of our project. But that time it wasn't, this was in the year 92. And service had started for different professions, no doubt. But then, not much was in, we were involved in it. But then, I was told at that time, talk about different values. And whilst talking about values, do not mention the name of your organization. Do not mention about your guru or about the country, India. Do not mention about, you know, anything religious. Just talk about values. Even this Living Values program was not in there at that time. Nothing. So I didn't know what to say. Well, so I just sat in front of the television. First time the television was in front of me. And that person who was televising, he said, look into this lens. There are thousands and thousands of eyes in that lens. That's what he told me. And you look into that lens and you're talking, because there's nobody in front of me in a studio, nobody. I have to just speak to the lens. And at that time you should think that you are addressing to thousands of people and those eyes are looking at you through that lens. And I had to talk about any value. So I thought of peace. I said, this is what the people need in the world. And let me tell you, before I went to the studio, before I even went for television work, I was so hesitant, but Dadi gave me so much encouragement. Go, Baba is wanting you to do it. I said, but Dadi, what am I going to speak? It was something new. That before that, no one had ever come for television among the Brahma Kumaris. But Dadi said, go, Baba will help you. And let me tell you, I just sat. I said, Baba, now you take care. I have become obedient. Now you take care. And I don't know what I spoke. I don't know what I spoke. I had to speak for 25 minutes and it just came and came and came. And then at the end he said, okay, now wind up. You know, they say 3 minutes, then 2 minutes, then 1 minute, and now wind up. They do like this. And it finished. 25 minutes passed like 2 minutes. It was such a wonderful experience. And the director who was listening liked it very much. And he said, okay, it was very good. Tomorrow you come again and you talk another on another value. I did gain confidence because he did praise it. And then next day I went again. And in this way, every day I did one lecture or maybe two lectures on different values, peace and love and happiness. He liked it so much. He said, okay, you can come after 1 month and we will record 54 lectures. 54 lectures. I did 7. It was such a big thing. When 54 lectures, how am I going to do? But then when I came back to Madhuban, I went to Bombay for this recording. That time we didn't have any studio in Madhuban. So when I came back to Madhuban, I had to prepare. I used to get up at 3:30 in the morning, just pick out one Avyakt Murli book, open any page, and there was one value for me, another page, another value for me, third page, another value for me. And let me tell you, I used to just read it and close it. I would take a pen in my hand and as if Baba was making me write. Not that I was writing, how the fingers were moving and the points were coming. If you tell me to do that today, I may not be able to do it. I know I might not be. But that time, how it came, it was a miracle. And when I went there, I did those lectures, I was there for 1 month recording 52 lectures. And they liked it so much that they invited more people, and then now we have so many giving lectures for television. Now, of course, Brahma Kumaris are well known in India and also in other countries because our programs come on television. But then let me tell you that how it worked out, because Baba told me Saraswati is on your tongue, on your lips, whatever. And I said, Baba wants me to do something. And after that, I was so cautious about what I was speaking, what words I was uttering. I was very, very cautious because I said, Baba has blessed me. I am Baba's obedient child. I am Baba's worthy child. Baba is seeing me with that high vision. I have to fulfill Baba's vision, fulfill Baba's wish. You know, I will do, Baba, whatever you tell me to do. I am your worthy child. So this consciousness made me so strong within, and I can tell you that truly it wasn't me. It was Baba working. But this needs faith. As Baba says, faith leads to victory. Faith is very, very important. Dadi was mentioning yesterday also in her class. When determination also comes with faith. Confidence comes with faith. So faith is the foundation. Who is telling this to me? It's not Dadi telling me, it's not my senior telling me, but that senior or Dadi is there because Baba has appointed that one. So I have to be an obedient child. Very often I think of the Gita, you know. In the Gita, Arjuna is being told by God what to do. But Arjuna has so many questions. It's because of lack of faith in the self. Lack of faith in who is telling me to do this. Lack of faith in the sense that because he was so attached, therefore the faith wasn't coming in himself or in the sermonizer, that means God himself. He didn't have that faith. So, as we go through the Gita, the essence of the Gita is very simple. God is telling Arjuna to fight a battle. They are the Pandavas and the Kauravas are on the opposite side, and God is just telling Arjuna, now fight this battle. And Arjuna is unwilling to fight. He has his bow and arrows, you know, everything there, but he has put them down. He doesn't want to fight. And God is inciting him, he is encouraging him to fight. And how, if you see the whole Gita, there are different points just to make Arjuna understand that he has to fight the war, the battle. So the first thing is, God is telling Arjuna, you just fight. You just use your bow and arrow and fight. And kill. And Arjuna says, how can I kill? They are my kinsmen, my cousins, my uncles, my gurus, my this, my that. Because all of them were on the Kaurava side. And the Pandavas were so few. And all family relatives on the other side, the enemy side. And you want me to kill? How can I kill my own kinsmen? And Arjuna, and God is telling Arjuna, don't ask any questions. You just kill. And he said, oh, I can't. Because he was so attached. The attachment was there. And therefore he was very hesitant. Anyway, now God wanted to make him understand that that was right for him. So God told him, Arjuna, why do you think that you are killing? You are really not killing anyone because no one dies. Each one is a soul. The body is perishable. So the first chapter shows Arjuna being told by God to kill and Arjuna is not willing to kill. That's the first chapter. The second chapter is all about the soul. God telling Arjuna, Arjuna, you cannot kill anyone anyway. The body is only a costume. Soul puts on this costume, its birth, it leaves the body, it is death. No one really dies. Therefore, you cannot kill the soul. The body is perishable anyway. So you do. You kill. Arjuna says, well, if the soul is imperishable and the body is perishable, and one day they have to leave the body, so they'll die on their own. Why should I kill them? You know? Why should I kill them? Doubtful about the self and about the others. Anyway, so that first, the second chapter is finished and Arjuna doesn't understand that why he should kill. Then the next chapter is God is telling Arjuna, Arjuna, it's your duty. You are a warrior. You should do your duty. If you do not fight now and you run away from the battlefield, your future generations will think that you are a coward. And therefore, Arjuna, you are a kshatriya, a warrior from the warrior clan. Your forefathers have never been cowards. They have fought. So you also fight. It's your duty. He says, he tells God, God, I can't do this duty. It's too difficult for me to do this. Actually, his greatest weakness is his attachment. And he asks all these questions. How can I do it? How can I kill? Why should I kill? You know, how, why, what, when? All these questions are asked by Arjuna. So he doesn't understand that too, that it is a duty that he has to kill. Then the third point God raises is, Arjuna, you have fought this battle many times and you have always won. You and I have been together many times. Victory is definite for you. You are destined to win. You just do your duty. Just take up your bow and arrow and start. Victory is destined for you. He said, I don't want such a victory. And he folds his hands and said, God, I don't want such a victory. What is the use of being victorious after having killed so many people? On whom will I rule? Because they will all be dead. Then God takes up another aspect. God tells him, Arjuna, why do you think that you are killing them? See, they're already dead. Death is their destiny. They are all going to die. You are not really killing them, but death is destined for them. You just do it namesake, that's all. Everything is already done beforehand. Like Baba says, no, you have to just do the karma. It's already there. You have to just raise your hand, that's all. They're already dead. And God gives them a vision of a graveyard, that all of his kinsmen dead, and he has won. But then again, because of attachment, he says, God, they're all going to die like this. I will be responsible. I don't want to be responsible. I don't want to kill. So every time God is telling him to fight, he says, I don't want to fight. And then ultimately, when he doesn't understand, then it comes in the last chapter, the variety form of Vishnu. They show huge form, so many faces, so many hands, you know, many things. He gets a vision of light and the great creation of the Supreme. You know, he gets a vision. And through that vision, he realizes, who is telling him this? It's not Krishna telling him, because he saw Krishna. And Krishna means human form. And he sees him in that form, he doesn't understand. But then when the true form of God came in front of him, he realized, it's not an ordinary human being telling me, but it's God telling me. And immediately he surrendered. He took up his bow and arrows and said, "Yes, God, now I have understood. Now I have finished my attachments. My attachment is over and I've become aware of what my duty is. And I will fight." So 18 chapters go only in this, in just making Arjuna understand that he has to fight. So this is the Gita. But then of course the interpretations of the Gita are many, and there are many, many things added. But the real essence is these 5 points. Knowledge of the soul, then second is do your duty, it's your duty, nothing new, you have done it many times before, they are already dead, and just take up your responsibility, you are destined to win, you are victorious, and ultimately who is telling you this? But only when he realizes at the end that it is God telling me, then he stands up and says, "Okay, God, now I will fight because my attachment is over." So because the attachment was there in him, all these questions came. How will I do it? When will I do it? You know, what, whether I'll get success, not success, this, that. These questions come. So obedience and worthiness come through faith. Faith. Who is telling me this? And who am I? What is my worth? If I wouldn't have been worthy, God wouldn't have told me this. So definitely I am that worthy soul. Definitely I am God's near and dear child. I am the right hand of God, helping God in his task of world transformation. And for that God is saying, you have to transform first in order to transform the world. You have to become a self-sovereign in order to become the sovereign of the world. You have to surrender first in order to make others surrender to God. So yes, Baba, I am first. In this, I come first. And when it comes to giving respect, okay, you first. So this is a beautiful way of life. You know, this Sangam Yug, confluence age life of Brahmins is the best life in the whole cycle, as Baba mentioned. Holiest, highest, richest. The eyes don't fall on anything of this old world. No attractions whatsoever. The inner contentment, that inner satisfaction, that inner closeness to God, the feelings of love coming from God for me through the Murli. The Murli is the, you know, the vibrations we get through the Murli, how God loves me so much. Surely God loves me more than I love God. Though I may say, yes, I do love God, but God loves me more. That's why Baba says, every day a love letter of 3 pages God sends to me. And therefore my love for the Murli. And whenever I read the Murli, I hear the Murli, I feel it's for me. God is speaking to me directly what I am supposed to do. I don't see anybody else. Yes, but when I am in the field of service, okay, you first. I don't lose anything by keeping somebody else in the front. If I keep someone else in the front, I don't become behind. No. I give respect, automatically I will get respect. So all these things are part of Brahmin family. And therefore, we are one family, knit in the thread of love. And Baba is the seed. Shiv Baba the flower, then the top knot, the dual bead, and then we are the beads. So whether I come as first or 108th or 16,108, that's a second thing. But at least I am a bead in this beautiful rosary of around God's neck. This is the feeling I should have. And when I'm so close, I'm definitely close to Baba, close to one another. And obedient to Baba, obedient to Baba and respect for each one. Love, obedience, respect, faith, worthiness, all these go together. Okay? So all of you are obedient, worthy children of Baba. Each one has that faith. Yes? Those who say, yes, we are, raise your hand. Lovely. Very good. Thank you. So now that you have come to Madhuban, and in these few days of Madhuban, make yourself so strong, because time is running out, definitely. It's very, very short. We are still very lucky to be able to come to Madhuban every year. Who knows what may happen next year. But yes, we know, whatever will happen for the good. It will be beneficial. But I have to be ready all the time. Yes? Okay. Om Shanti. Now 3 minutes in Baba's remembrance.